If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And after a very successful missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas get to a place where there's a sharp contention. And they've had some wonderful success. But here in verse 34 of Acts chapter 15, we get to some interesting words. In fact, if I were writing the story of the church, I might have excluded this. But if the world were writing the story of the church, this was juicy gossip. They want to include something like this because two spirit-filled, godly, Christ-following individuals had a disagreement. Look with me in Acts chapter 15, verse 34. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So in our text, the unthinkable has happened in the lives and ministries of Paul and Barnabas. Look at verse 38. But Paul thought it not good to take him, this is John Mark, of course, with them, who departed from them to Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. We say that this sharp contention, this personal battle, was so unthinkable at the time because this argument led to a falling out, a division among the greatest missionary team that had just finished the greatest missionary journey campaign of all history. Back in chapter 13, these were specifically separated out by the Holy Spirit. Paul and Barnabas took the gospel to the darkest and most hostile people imaginable. This is almost a 100% unreached territory. And the result of that missionary journey was nothing less than spectacular. It was glorious. And the summary of Paul and Barnabas' trip is, I think, fairly given here in verse 12 of chapter 15. Are you there in chapter 15? Look at verse 12, please. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. These were camp testimonies. These were mission trip testimonies here. This was the domestic and the foreign mission trip testimony services. What happened? This is miracles and wonders among the Gentiles. These are direct answers to prayer. This is the Holy Spirit bringing them to an unbelievable success. And they're establishing new churches with new converts in Cyprus and Paphos and Pergamos and Iconium and Lystra. It was miracle on top of miracle. As in all trips, if you read the narrative, there were twists and turns and stops of all kinds of sights and sounds along the way. If it was a war, both of these men would have been granted the Medal of Honor for their service. And imagine the bond, the shared experience that Paul and Barnabas had. The highs, the lows as they journeyed together. They were in the spiritual foxhole together, and there was a bond confirmed by the empowering of the Holy Spirit that came upon both of them. And that brings us to the kind of startling words of our text. In the light of all this glory and grace, how in the world could there be such sharp contention? And what's this severe breakup all about? They departed asunder. That word asunder is used by Jesus Christ himself to represent divorce. It's an emphatic adverb. They departed one from the other. This ministry detail is not incidental. This was inspired to be there for us today. This was a ministry pothole, if you will. And by God's grace, I want to talk to you about potholes. No, not the ones that they're doing on Campus Drive right now. Right now, there's a tapestry of repair that's gone on in the road to get to Worth Baptist Church. You see a whole history of pothole repair. And here we're given this wonderful journey and then this pothole in the middle of the road. This is a metaphor that we're going to use tonight. And this pothole was not a tiny Metroplex, soon fixed pothole. This was a huge Oklahoma-sized pothole. The kind that rattles your teeth. The kind that undoes your alignment and it cracks your rims. This was a pothole in the middle of God's will. Both of these men doing God's will. Potentially putting their entire journey at risk. This could have led to bitterness, discouragement, despondency, dismay. The contention was so sharp between them. Satan would have loved to have used this contention to derail ministry with his destructive power. He would have loved to have seen all that fruit come to naught. But here's the deal. Paul didn't quit. Barnabas didn't stop. And John Mark didn't quit either. Not only did the journeys continue, but they increased. Souls were saved. God was magnified. Churches were established. Epistles were written. And John Mark himself became fruitful. And Paul and Silas became ministry legends. And Barnabas proved who he was. He was an encourager. By all of the apostles, he got that nickname. This was just a pothole along the way. It was unpleasant. It was unexpected, just like they always are. What happened after the pothole defines a disciple. A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is as a follower of Christ does. And I know that God has a message for every believer in the room today. And he has an encouragement for those that have not received Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you have included this ministry detail, and it's not insignificant for us tonight. Nothing is superfluous in your word. You've inspired all of Scripture, and today it's profitable for us. Would you help us to understand the truth of the potholes in our life? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All summer, we traveled through Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, and northern Nevada and Wyoming. These are heavy snow areas. And this year felt like the winter that would never let go. I'm sure you felt bad for me in these 100-plus degree summer times. Months that we've had. Well, the reality is when we were in those areas in the later part of the spring, our freshwater line would freeze over. It would be nice to kind of have some of that cold wind blow right now. Well, the cycle of freezing and warming caused roads to contract and to expand. They left wide cracks in the paved surface that could only be described as satanic. You have to drive conscientiously and strategically around potholes, which is an interesting challenge in a 30-foot motorhome. It makes you feel like Mario Andretti when you avoid a pothole, and it makes you sound like Super Mario when you hit one. Dodging and weaving, negotiating and straddling potholes, they're awful. Paul and Barnabas were on the missionary highway, ordained by God, and they came face to face with a huge pothole. It was sudden. It was strong, and it was sharp, and it was concerning. Potholes make you swerve, they make you sweat, and if you're not filled with the Spirit, they make you want to swear. It brings us to this interesting narrative in Acts, some interesting lessons God wants us to learn in God's work for us today. Number one, potholes are inevitable. Potholes are inevitable. Look at verse 35 of chapter 15, please. Paul and also Barnabas continued in Antioch. teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Remember the first five that were sent to start this church in Antioch? They were called Christians first at Antioch, and they stayed there and encouraged one another. This sounds like a smooth road on the gospel highway. Imagine the spirit of this wonderful church, the church of Antioch. They were living like Christ. They acted like Christ. They walked like Christ. And so the unbelieving world used it as a pejorative to call them Christians. But they were preaching and they were teaching the word of God. What a place to be. Paul and Barnabas expounded the Bible. They illustrated every story of what the Lord had brought them through for God's glory. They are doing the work of an evangelist. Look at verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Smooth roads. Must have been awesome to be in that place at that time. What could go wrong? Well, verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Uh-oh, what's the problem here? He determined to do something with somebody who was a human. Whenever you include humans, you invite problems. I have a gut feeling that there's going to be a pothole ahead because human beings have the potential to bring heartaches and trouble. Anytime you deal with people, even good, godly people, guess what you can expect? You can expect potholes. Think about these two men for this moment. Multiple times, the men are described as filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Both of them empowered, both of them apostles. These were sent ones. Barnabas was given the name the Encourager by all the apostles because that's exactly what he was. Paul, possibly the greatest Christian that's ever lived, the theologian, the encourager, the theologian here. It was Barnabas, filled with the Holy Spirit, that encouraged and taught and trained a floundering and discouraging younger Saul to not quit the ministry. He was a disciple maker in his own right to Saul, who would then become Paul. Then it was Paul who was separated along with Barnabas by the Holy Spirit's leading to go out of the church of Antioch and that first missionary journey. Barnabas and Saul became Paul and Barnabas. In every way, this was a match made in heaven. Look at verse 25 of chapter 15. Verse 25. It seemed good unto us being assembled with, what are those next two words? One accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So these men were beloved. They traveled together. They won souls together. They established churches together. They were persecuted together. They sailed to new lands together. They had a very important meeting in Jerusalem, and they were about to return to those younger churches to see the new converts there and encourage them and see how they do. What could be better? Yet because of a difference of opinion about a man named John Mark and about his qualifications. You see, Paul thought John Mark was not yet ready for a journey. And Barnabas, a disciple maker, a glass half full optimist, looks at John Mark and says, he's not what he needs to be now, but he could be what the Lord wants him to be. This potentially powerful missionary trip and all that these men were known for and had worked for was about to dissolve. Had there been tabloids in the first century, this would be the big headline. Missionary madness, the breakup of Paul and Barnabas. And there would be a doctored picture of both of them making angry faces at each other with some ripped paper in between them. Oh, the drama would have been there. None of them would have planned for this. Neither of them wanted this to happen. Yet here they are. Potholes are inevitable. Not all potholes are disagreements or discouragements. Sometimes they're persecutions or oppositions or accusations, or burdens. Sometimes they're sicknesses. Sometimes they're afflictions. Here's the reality of the inevitability of potholes. When you deal with people, there's a reality of who they are and how they are. For instance, if you were to see anything bad about me, I could most likely take the credit for that. Or if there's anything that's bad that's happened to me, there's good news on both of those fronts. It's all earthbound, it's all temporary, and it's all going to burn up. If there's anything good that you notice about me, Christ has done it all. He gets all the glory for it, and it's going to last forever and forever and forever. Amen. See, Paul himself hit a pothole in a journey to Lystra when he was stoned and dragged outside of the city and left for dead. I'm sure Paul didn't sign up for that. Potholes are inevitable. Number two, potholes are inconvenient. Look at verse 36. Some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. This was a well-oiled ministry machine. They were foiled. They were anointed by the Holy Spirit of God himself. They were a force to be reckoned with. If you were to read chapter 13 and 14 and 15, you could see the powerful impact that they had everywhere they went. But verse 37 says this, and Barnabas was determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Are you a Christian that has determined to do something? Have you ever had plans in your life? Goals, hopes, and dreams? Barnabas did, and so did Paul. And it's not by accident that we're given this interesting information. Look at verse 25 one more time. It seemed good unto us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. There was another good ministry team by the name of Judas and Silas, great men that have hazarded their lives for the cause of Christ and the gospel's sake. What another good team. Look at verse 32, please. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. So here's two missionary groups, Barnabas and Paul, and Judas and Silas. And then there's another man named John Mark. What could be clearer in the will of God? What happened? Well, life happened. Barnabas had an idea that would ultimately lead to a huge pothole for all these men, and including this other team, Judas and Silas. Look at verse 39, if you will. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Wait a minute, what happened to our buddy Judas? We're not talking about the other Judas. He's off the scene. This isn't Judas Iscariot. This is another disciple named Judas. Is Judas not in the plans anymore? Plans changed for Judas, who's not going with Silas anymore. They've changed for Silas, who's now going with Paul to Syria. And plans have changed for Barnabas and Mark, who are now sailing off to Cyprus. This is inconvenient. Potholes can put you on the side of the road or on another road, or in Judas's case, off the road. He could have been derailed or destroyed by all of it. This is in the Word of God. These are men anointed by the Holy Spirit. These are apostles of the Lord. Here's the truth about inconvenient potholes. If you find yourself having hit a pothole, life is not over. Never give up on your calling. Never give up on your vocation. Even if the location is not exactly where you've planned, that's perfectly fine with the Lord. You can trust Jesus because he knows the end from the beginning. He's Alpha and he's Omega. He's the A all the way to the Z. He's the Aleph all the way to the Tau. He knows the end. We read the back of the book, and it all goes to his glory because he is on his throne. There's some young people in this room who've hoped and prayed for a special somebody to get into their life, and they haven't found the ideal mate. Somebody said that the ideal mate is Mr. Potato Head because he's tan, he accessorizes, he's cute, and if he ever looks at another woman, you could rearrange his face. If you haven't found your Mr. Potato Head, it's not the end of the world. Maybe you're not where you think you thought you would have been 10 or 15 years down the road. Even if you've been derailed by a pothole, you're still perfectly held by the hands of Jesus Christ. And could I assure you that God's grip don't slip? A pothole hasn't ruined anything. In the scheme of things, it's only an inconvenience. It has only inconvenienced you. If your life has taken a 90-degree turn, that could possibly be a brand new beginning for you. Brother Johnson, I thought I'd have that promotion by now. I thought I'd be married. I thought I'd be financially secure in a different location or a different vocation. In your mind, you feel incapacitated by the will of God that's happened in your life. In reality, you're just inconvenienced. It wasn't just Barnabas inconvenienced by this determination. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden, circle, highlight, underline that word if that's your habit, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That's a stop sign in the will of God, forbidden. It's interesting when you're actually trying to do something for the Lord and then you're forbidden. Look at verse 7, please. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Another stop sign here, forbidden again. The word essayed should be familiar because it's another determination. They essayed to go to Bithynia. Was it a good thing that Paul wanted to go to Bithynia? He was just right around the corner. I love the Bible from cover to cover. I love the index. I love the preface. I love every book of the Bible. I love the concordance, and I even love the maps. And if you were to look at the maps of the second missionary journey, you would see that they're in Troas, and they could go just take a 90-degree turn and be right there in Bithynia and minister to many Jews that were there. In fact, it was really Paul's people. That's where Tarsus was. This was his hometown. He got to minister with the people that he loved and grew up with. He knew those people, and he was going to take the gospel there. But he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul was not the type of person that easily understood this news. He had to learn that whatsoever state I was in, therewith to be content. None of these things shall move me kind of man. He was the this one thing I do kind of man. He was a man full of zeal and determination. He went to Jerusalem even when a prophet warned him not to do it. And that's why verse 7 is powerful. He determined to go to Bithynia. This region, heavily populated by Jews, that he was burdened for. And Bithynia was a perfect place for Paul to take the gospel. However, he and another ministry partner, he and Timothy, were forbidden. Inconveniences like this doesn't come easy for a man like Paul. And whether it's the state that he was to be content with, the state of trouble, the state of trial or success, or effectiveness, or the state of Texas, the state of war, the state of being hospitalized. These are all states that we have to be content with from time to time. He's not allowed to be with his family, his lost loved ones, the synagogue he grew up in, to give them the gospel. He feels like he's spinning his wheels in Troas, of all places. His heart was set for the northeast, a region called Bithynia, his people. Now he's wandering a little bit south of there, and he's decided again what he's supposed to do. Verse 7 was going to Mysia, and then verse 8, and passing by Mysia, he came down to Troas. Now if you could have stuck a microphone in front of his face and given him a news interview, Paul at this moment, I don't know what he would have said. Paul, what are you doing with Timothy and Luke here in Troas? Wait, where's Barnabas? What happened to the dream team? I thought you'd planned to go to Bithynia. You had your map quest printed out for Bithynia. I thought you'd be visiting the churches of the people that you knew there. There could be other places and people that, hey, I remember when you came to our church and you gave your PowerPoint presentation about Bithynia Baptist Missions. And we took up a Bithynia Global Mission offering. And I gave 100 shekels myself. I might just cut off your support if you're not going where you said you're going. But the next thing that happened is the Macedonian call in verse 9. I don't know what he would have said before this point, but I know that they were 500 miles away from where they determined to be. They had all of their online calendar dates all set, but then God changed their plans. Imagine how bitter you'd be if you kept making plans and God kept changing those plans. He's the Lord of our schedule. He's the boss. He's the chief of our schedule. That's the word Lord that is translated from the Greek word kurios, which means master or ruler or boss. What is your boss in charge of? When you show up and when you end your work day? What job you're going to do? And that's our Lord. He knows exactly how long we're to be, places, and what we're supposed to do. Could I make this statement? Inconvenience is not an anomaly in the Christian life. It's the norm. You'll scarcely find a believer here on earth who many times hasn't hit a pothole on the road of life. They've had to settle for second or third or fourth choice. And many of those choices weren't even on the list. Perhaps many of you were disappointed that you haven't reached your Bithynia and you feel like you're stuck in Troas. You don't know which way to turn. Why did God put you here? You were supposed to be farther down the road in 5 years' time. Here's the truth. It doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what God thinks. God is our authority, and you're going to be just fine when you follow Him. Don't quit. Don't get bitter. Don't consider yourself a failure. If you're in the will of God, you're never a failure. And that brings us to our last point. Number 3, potholes are incidental. Brother Johnson, doesn't the word incidental mean secondary or something minor? How dare you call my pothole something minor? Maybe your pothole doesn't feel incidental. Whether or not you're feeling that, it is the truth. Look at verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them. Even in the middle of a contention, God was still there. God was still on His throne. You'd have to fast forward all the way to the last verse of the last chapter of Acts to see that the work of God continued despite or in spite of this contention. God is everywhere present. You can follow Him. You can hear His voice through His word, and you can do His will anywhere. My pastor growing up, Johnny Pope, would often quote the definition of God's will from his father, Julian Pope. It's find a need and fill it. Simply see a need, take the lead. That could be as simple as God's will is. This is an amazing book of Acts where we see the description of the Holy Spirit-filled church doing its work, even though there's setbacks and potholes. You can read the last verse of the book of Acts, and here it is, Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. It was just a minor, temporary, earthbound setback. Adoniram Judson spent years of his life planning to go to India. He was a godly young man. Adoniram Judson studied the language. He was brilliant. He wanted to translate scripture into their language. He planned. He organized. He communicated. And then he boarded a ship. And he spent every dime he had to get all the way to India. And when he got there, he was turned away. Then he ended up in France. Some Christians might have said, I don't understand, Lord. I quit. was hoping to do this for your majesty and for your glory. He tried again to go to India, but he was turned away again. He said, if I can't go to India, I'll find somewhere else. Who needs the gospel? I'm going to go to Burma. That ministry in Burma changed missions throughout the entire world. I've got his quote up on the screen. There is no success without sacrifice. If you succeed without sacrifice, it's because someone has suffered before you. If you sacrifice without success, it's because someone will succeed after. The life of a spirit-filled, godly, in the will of God Christian, a pothole is just incidental. It could have been reason to quit and be bitter. It was a pothole for spirit-filled men, Paul and Barnabas. Who did Barnabas take with him? John Mark. Paul didn't think he was qualified. And this contention really looked bad on paper. The will of God and the purposes of God, however, were not assaulted at all. We're to pray every day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. Is God's will being done in heaven? We should be praying that God's will is done on earth. Keep this in mind. God was not shaken at this contention. Whenever you see a description of heaven, you always see a throne. And you always see God seated on his throne. God didn't leave his throne in 1982. God didn't leave his throne when you hit a pothole. In fact, there's a body of water that's described as a sea of glass, and it could only be described as crystal. Could I remind you that there's no panic in heaven? God uses this very contention to expand and increase effectiveness in gospel ministry, to the point where Paul was able to say this, for our light affliction. Remember, he lists a bunch of suffering, and then he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says it's a light affliction. The idea is really light bread. It's easy to take care of. Paul calls his afflictions a piece of cake. No problem. Barnabas chose John Mark and went to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and went to Syria. Paul felt that John Mark wasn't qualified, and Barnabas, I'm sure, coached up John Mark, just like he did with Saul when he was a new believer, to the point where Paul, later on in his ministry, in his swan song in 2 Timothy, asked for the ministry of John Mark while he was yet in prison. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 says this, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. That's God writing the story. That's not man conniving and persuading and enforcing. That's God having his will and having his way to the furtherance of the gospel. Brother Johnson, I haven't hit a pothole. I've fallen into a Florida sinkhole and I can't get out. Joseph was betrayed by his brother, sold into slavery, and falsely accused by his employer. He spent 2 years in jail. That's a sinkhole. But every description of Joseph at that time was, as Scripture tells us, the Lord was with him. If you've experienced any rejection here on earth, any love lost, keep this in mind. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's closer than a brother. He's the friend that sticketh like a brother. Here's Paul's assessment of everything that has happened. He's writing this from a jail cell. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he says this, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Here's the truth. God knows where you are right now. Incidentally, he knows where you're going tomorrow and a month from now or 100 years from now. He knows what successes you'll have. He knows what failures you'll have. He knows what sins you commit. He knows every confession that you'll make. He knows what you'll look like 100 years from now. Only trust him. Obey him. Don't get bitter. Don't quit. Keep on going forward for his glory. Paul and Barnabas, two spirit-filled Christians, following in what is right to do. Who is right? Who is wrong? Whose side would you pick? It doesn't matter. Who is on the Lord's side? If you hit a ministry pothole, you're not stopped. You're not stuck. Keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's stand, please. The next time you hit a pothole, you have a reminder to keep on going. As bad as it is not as bad as it will be. God will rescue you. God is right there with you. I wonder if you'd say, Brother Johnson, I needed this reminder tonight. I've been through a past, I've been through problems, and I need the grace of God for a pothole that I've hit. Say, Brother Johnson, I don't know that I would have titled the message that same way. I don't know if I would have gotten exactly what you've gotten, but it helped me tonight. If you'd say, Brother Johnson, that encouraged me, and I needed that, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, you'd say, I needed that. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody like that that says, I needed that message tonight? I see your hands. Maybe you'd say, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. But I'm not focusing on just the successes of life. This isn't health and wealth baloney. I needed this truth. I needed the Holy Spirit today to encourage me. I wonder if you'd leave your seat and say, no matter what name has popped to mind, no matter what face you've seen, no matter what trauma or problem, no matter if it's happened to you or you've happened to it, if there's been a past or problems or trials that you've come through or you've run over, why don't you leave those at the feet of Jesus? Cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And by the way, he'll do more with your burden than you ever could. You're going to hit potholes, so get back on the road. Maybe you need to tell the Lord that. Lord, I'm ready to re-up. I'm ready to re-sign. I'm ready to hit the road again. Maybe you are not following the will of God because you have not yet received Jesus Christ. The gospel says that all of us are sinners. We're all lost without Jesus Christ. And as sinners, if you died without Christ, you will be in hell forever. But the good news is Jesus was sent to this world to pay for our sin. He lived a perfect sinless life. He died, he was buried, he rose again 3 days later. And he's ascended to the right hand of the throne of the Father. Right now he's alive to save you and to seek and to save that which was lost. He'll save as many as call upon him right now. If you're not saved or you're not sure, you can come to Jesus today. You can be sure that you can trust your entire future to Jesus Christ. If you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, no one's looking around. We certainly don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. You'd say, I'm not saved or I'm not sure because I haven't called upon the name of the Lord to save me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I'm not saved or I'm not sure tonight. Most gracious Heavenly Father, help us to keep our eyes on the road, not just to avoid potholes, but Lord, to keep our eyes on you. Lord, there's a road that you're taking us through and you're writing the story. Lord, thank you that you included, through the power of your Holy Spirit, this contention, and we could see that the resolution was far better than any man could devise or come up with. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing today. Lord, we love you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.